On this Sunday conversation, we learn the importance of breathing and how Pilates can improve your life. Enjoy.
Let's go! 3, 2, 1!
Here we go. Well, we're back at another podcast, the gym podcast, and it's a performance one. So our guest today is Sarah, and she has, well, I'll just tell you, she trains completely different than I even know how to train. So she's going to go into depth on that. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself and then what I mean about the training you do compared to what most people don't even have any idea how to do it.
Sure. So I train in Pilates. That's my main focus. I own a Pilates studio in Grandview, and I also come from a few other disciplines. So a background in gymnastics, diving, yoga, aerial yoga, some acro, dance, and just try to combine everything that I know into how I teach. So it's allowed me to train different types of athletes and different types of clients through recovery and also just through general wellness, flexibility, mobility, strength training.
Okay. Now, I went to your studio probably about a year ago?
No. Yeah, almost.
Maybe sooner. It's called a preformer, right?
Reformer. Yes.
Okay, I always mess that up. Okay. So explain to me exactly why that is more benefit than, say, just basic yoga. I mean, you kind of told me a little bit, but I was more interested in the fact that you could put bands, the springs on, all these things on it.
Yeah.
And the movements you took me through were very basic, but they weren't easy by any means. And me being a ball player at one point, I could see the benefit of all of, you know, what you talked about, the strength and the rehab for an athlete. But how is a reformer, eventually I'll get it right. How is a reformer adding that piece of equipment better than just basic Pilates or basic yoga?
So let's just try to first just not even talk about yoga because it's a different ball of wax. Pilates is essentially using your breath and using your powerhouse. So your abdominals, your pelvic floor, to help dictate the movement of your spine and help to create strength so your arms and your legs can move a little more at ease. If you think of your powerhouse as your anchor point and your center of strength, then everything can move with greater mobility. So the reformer is just simply an apparatus that helps to facilitate that. Pilates can actually be done on a mat, and then there are several other types of apparatuses. But the reformer is mostly widely used. There are springs which create resistance. I like to refer to the reformer as a lie detector because when you're moving your body, and we'll just take the exercise I had you do last time. So we did a lot of trunk rotation. We reached our arms out long and we created some shoulder mobility. We utilized our abdominals to help keep and maintain control of our bodies as we were moving. So a lot of times people will move in such a way with more of a point A to point B mentality and not really think about the journey along the way, right? And the journey is, like, very critical. So it's just mapping out how you go about moving the body in a way to keep it safe and in a way to develop muscles where you need them. So different types of athletes, different type of people need different types of strength training. So that's another topic. But essentially the ropes that the straps attach to create, like lines of energy of how you're moving your body. And as an instructor, I'm able to look at how these ropes are moving, and how your limbs might be intersecting or not intersecting with them, how the carriage moves in, like an even flow, to facilitate the correct, initiation from your core. So that while keeping you safe. So, for example, if you were to just pull a strap with momentum, like a lawnmower, right?
Yeah.
And if the spring was loaded too light, you'd pull and then the recoil would be to snap you back, increasing your risk of injury. And then if it was too high, you could, you know, throw it either on the way back or on the way back in. Again, injury. So, again, it just maps with timing and core initiation and then the right motion of your body. So it's essentially a lot of functional range conditioning and strength building, mobility, flexibility, all in one. So breath is one of the most critical parts of Pilates. Joseph Pilates was a man who created the discipline, originally called Contrology, and he even wrote books on breath. And so I utilize several different styles of breathing. Typically, what I start most people off is lateral diaphragmatic breathing. It's a way to expand the ribs laterally, so outward, rather than puffing your chest up and opening your ribs. So you breathe into the sides of the ribs, into the back of the ribs. And what happens is your pelvic floor and your diaphragm lift together and lower together, creating more connection with your abdominals. So strong abdominals, less tension on your back can help to relieve back tension, increase posture. Again, all the benefits are there. Increased oxygen and CO2 levels, the right combination of the two, create better athletic performance.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you don't have oxygen, you can't perform.
Right.
But the pelvic floor, which you're starting to hear more and more in the news, well, I guess not news, but, you know, in the fitness articles, because people always talk about pelvic floor, about with pregnant women, or even golfers now are talking a lot about pelvic floors, and you're starting to see it more in baseball players, because they're getting those groin injuries. And you're saying it can be controlled a lot just on just the aspect of breathing? Or is that kind of the breathing with the rotation and the core activation?
Yeah.
Goes hand in hand?
Whether there's rotation or not, the breathing, the pelvic floor, the diaphragm, and how they move together is critical. Also, breathing in through your nose with your lips sealed. Your nose is designed to filter impurities out of the air. Okay, so big, deep inhales through your nose also help to increase your nasal cavity. So if you don't breathe through your nose, if you're a mouth breather, your membranes are gonna kind of swell shut and it's gonna be more and more difficult. So I do have some clients and I work with them on breathing, you know, through one nostril at a time. There's a way to clear your sinuses and increase your airways. Anyway, the exhalation usually comes out your mouth, pursed lips, like you're blowing up a balloon, right? You're trying to express all of the garbage, so all the CO2 out of the bottom of the lungs. So inhale oxygen in, exhale carbon dioxide out. Seems pretty simple, but a lot of people just have no idea how to breathe. Or they take really shallow breaths. But as you know, with performance, exertion, exhalation, there's a huge benefit to strength or power, right, during breath. And sometimes, too, holding the breath, embracing. So those are all different things.
It's weird. Like, people can't breathe correctly. People can't walk correctly, squat correctly. It's like, how'd you make it through the day?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how they take so many things for granted. And I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm being more aware of my surroundings. But when I go out to places now, you see all these people, and it's just like, there's so many areas and avenues where someone can eat healthy, work out, just the little tiny things to help us. And you just, they look miserable throughout the day. And it's like, there's so many things you can do. And it seems like one of the big things is just learn how to breathe correctly. And it just sounds like that can just be tripping out effect, all these positive things.
Oh yeah. Well, it starts to stimulate your vagus nerve, your the vagal tone in your body. And there's a correlation to breath and your psoas muscles and tapping into your parasympathetic nervous system, which is also incredibly important in just overall mental well-being. So typically when we're in a fight or flight mode, we're not tapping into that parasympathetic nervous system. We're more frantic, our breath might change, we might not be able to focus. When we're able to control our breathing and tap in, we're able to calm our minds, calm our bodies. So whether it's we're getting chased by a bear or we're, you know, chased by a bear or holding a plank, you know, and we're trying to like get those last 10 seconds in or whatever it is, or you're going in for a back squat, whatever you need, right? Like you've got to breathe correctly so you can sustain. All right. So pelvic floor, I know we just kind of touched on that and the importance of pelvic floor. So I deal with women a lot who have had children or have had pelvic floor issues, particularly after childbirth. But you know, men have a pelvic floor as well, and it's creating this vacuum effect. So not just breathing, right? Like mm-hmm. we're creating abdominal pressure in our bodies, and this abdominal pressure is really important again at engaging everything. Again, your core, your powerhouse, all of these muscles in your torso essentially help to draw together, protect your back, and allow you to move your limbs more freely or with more power, okay? Whether you're exhaling at that exertion or exhaling against the resistance of, you know, work on the reformer, for example. So, it's this kind of up and in feeling. I mean, that's kind of a very widely used cue in Pilates. Up and in, pull it up and in, shrink the kite.
That's what she said.
So there are all sorts of funny ones.
Yeah.
A smoothie. but essentially the muscles that are at the bottom of your pelvis, you know, they draw together in kind of this diamond-like or kite shape, and you're pulling them up and in. So in yoga, it's called your Mula Bandha, or like your root lock. Your navel to spine and your pelvic floor lifting, you want to think about them converging together along your spine, so that up from the pelvic floor, in from the navel, that mm-hmm. navel, that's kind of where that comes from. Just to take, you know, centrifugal force, for example, astronauts use this, and fighter jet pilots use this when they're learning to combat the, you know, G-force.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost this, you know, like bracing effect, or, you know, contracting everything, pulling everything in. If you're taking a tight corner in your car, like, yeah, if you have a seatbelt on, that's obviously going to help to keep you in, but you want to, you know, you feel that G-force, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking a tight corner. So you brace, you pull up and you pull in. And that's where that power comes from. So that's the pelvic floor combined with the abdominals, combined with a little bit of that breath hold.
Right.
So, yeah.
I can see the translation to it, because you throw a punch, you take a breath, you throw a punch, you take a breath.
Yeah.
And then the calming aspect, I think, where most athletes will take it in, because – you know, I remember when I used to play ball, is, you know, you take a breath before every pitch. You know, you get golfers that are taking a breath before they golf,
uh-huh.
before they make their putt or something. And people are like, oh, they're just, you know, getting focused. But it makes sense. If they know how to breathe, just think of the clarity they're going to get, the focus and the vision, and it makes a lot of sense. And then the ability to think more clearly.
Oh, you're delivering more oxygen to your brain. And
and which, right,
yeah.
and they're doing all these skillful movements, but they have to have that.
Yeah.
Which, and so many people lack the breath. Like, there's so many people I've seen in the gym, you see them over hyperventilate, or they're not breathing properly, or they're holding their breath during the lift, and it's just
mm-hmm.
like, what are you doing? Like, well, I'm getting real tense for the lift. Well, yeah, you're also going to probably pop a blood vessel or
mm-hmm.
pass out. I always, like we were talking about the gym fails earlier, and I always think of the one deadlift where the guy lifts it up, he's holding his breath the whole time, drops the weight, and then takes one step, and then he ends up falling over.
Oh, yeah.
Because just all that blood rush.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to what you said with the reformer.
Mm-hmm.
There I go.
Yeah,
I got it.
You got it.
Is is the movement of the speed matter? Like for a baseball player, we're going at high RPMs when we're throwing a ball. When I'm doing it on the reformer, better way to explain it. What's more important? Doing the motion where it's, because it's, you said from, you know, there's a lot of sequences. So instead of going from A to D, it's more to make sure you go from A, B, C, D, nice and smooth, or is there a benefit to go quicker?
Well, it just totally depends. So if I have somebody coming in, I usually start slow, again, just to kind of build those new neuromuscular pathways. Create some muscle memory, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Start with the foundation. Usually a lot of people have not even worked out on the reformer, or if they have, I find that they've picked up some really poor habits along the way. So I usually start them from scratch with my methodology and work from there. So start slow, again, mapping out the brain, start to intensify the weight or the tension, so to speak. There are different ways to add momentum into Pilates. It's not all just this slow, like, four count, you know, type of movement. But that's a good place generally to start. For my dancers, for example, I work with them not only on some of the slow and flowy, more strict movement, but I also let them open up and create more of this creative exactly what I said, like more like fluid movement.
Kind of like a dance movement.
Yeah, exactly. Because strict movement, more mobility training, can be somewhat rigid.
Mm-hmm.
But dancers really need to understand the rigidity, and they also need to be able to be expressive and willowy sometimes. But that strength is just hidden in their fluid movements that looks effortless. But I work with them too on a lot of dynamic movements. I am pretty well known for teaching jump Pilates, which is a cardio Pilates. There's a jump board attachment, which goes on the foot end or the, Yeah, it's a cushioned board, and you jump. If you look on my Instagram, you can see it. But it's a way for anybody, really, to just work on foot positioning in a faster pace. Sometimes it's a little slower, which can tap into the abdominals more, but heavier weight, it's a quicker, snappier, still more of a low impact because you're not, generally, you're laying down. Jump. Okay, so people who have knee issues, this is a good way for them to get some cardio. But just as I mentioned, the jump Pilates can be performed not only in a supine on your back position, but in a kneeling position or a sideline position, which is everybody's love-hate position for jump Pilates. Gluteus medius, are some of the more underused muscles, I think, in American bodies, and are extremely beneficial, as you know, just as a trainer, just for squats or almost anything, any lateral movement. So I work with a lot of tennis players who are, you know, using, you know, that side to side, that lateral motion, very beneficial. People just some people just like to feel the burn again. Yeah. So whether I'm training an athlete or just a stay-at-home mom or whoever, it is it's just something that really resonates with everybody. And Pilates is a discipline that has longevity. This isn't going in and cranking out group fitness, like, you know, HIIT training necessarily. This is something that can carry you from the early stages of your life all the way up until, you know, you're in your 80s and 90s. I work with a lot of people who've had a lot of spinal surgeries, knee surgeries, who have back pain, who are pregnant, who are recovering from pregnancy or diastasis recti. It has a whole host of benefits. So it provides everybody with a little bit of something. Again, longevity is key. I've been doing it since I was a kid. And Joseph Pilates was in his 80s when he died. He was practicing, you know, up until he died. And he founded it because he was a sick child. So he had a lot of breathing issues. And just a testament to the breath.
Yeah.
You know, he grew up in Europe and was part of the army, part of World War One, where, you know, the plague, the Spanish flu were, you know, impacting, you know, that part of the world. And he implemented his breathing techniques in on his troops, and none of them fell ill to the plague or the Spanish flu. Again, breathing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, like you said, when you breathe correctly, you're getting all the crud out of your lungs.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if your lungs are messed up, or if you have crud in there, you're going to probably get so, you know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then it's just your body doesn't get enough breath, so you're not you're at lack of oxygen. You get tired. Your immune system weakens. You get sick. So
yeah,
it's just that trickle down effect of all things that can
happen.
It
is. And just one caveat, you know, Joseph Pilates was a visionary, and of course, I've been studying his discipline since I was a kid, and utilizing all the breathing techniques and the movement techniques. But there's so much science-backed evidence proving the benefits of breathing and breathing this way. So it's not just that, you know, some guy was like, oh, let's breathe this way. So much science-based evidence on the benefits overall. So anyway, that is what I do in a nutshell.
In a nutshell?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big nutshell.
I feel like that's the theme for today. In a nutshell. On the performer.
Well, yeah. I'm more interested, like, I mean, I was always interested in stuff you do, but the I'm more interested in, like, the fact that breathing, so many people just don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you always hear when someone's yelling or screaming, just take a breath. You know, we use that term, or, you know, when I was playing baseball, we'd always do meditation, and it was breathing in, breathing out. And, you know, at the time I was like, oh, this is stupid, this is corny, but it's starting to make more and more sense.
Yeah.
Like, just to sit back and breathe and relax. Like, you have a hard day at work, you sit down, you're back and relax, and breathe, and it's just amazing how it makes you feel. It clears everything out. And now you use that in your exercise routine, and you make breathing part of your everyday routine.
Yeah.
I can just see how it makes everything else better.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the things where people come to the gym, I'm running late, so they'll get on the treadmill for 5 minutes, walk, play on their phone, whatever, and then they'll go do their heavy lifting or machine work and then leave. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wait a minute, you came in to use the gym, but you didn't do anything to prime the body to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a lack of being lazy. I don't think it's a lack of time. I just think it's a lack of education. They don't know what they're doing.
No, I mean, and exercise science has changed so much just even in the last few years. I do some personal training, but again, my foundation is in Pilates. So no matter what type of session or class I'm teaching, I always come back to my Pilates basics, right? And setting the tone with breath and the core. And everything else can move from there. Just to give you an example, last year I was training a dancer, and she really needed to work on getting her splits. And, you know, she had maybe, you know, like a foot to go before she was able to touch the ground. And this was something her dance instructor had been working with her on, and she had been practicing with on her own. And I had her in the full splits, correct form, with her pelvis and her legs, in less than 10 minutes, just because of breathing, all right? Mm-hmm. Huge, again, correlation between the psoas muscles,
right.
You know. Anyway, but it reminded me of something just a second ago. Kind of the meditation, setting the tone for a workout. Yeah, a lot of people just get in and, again, it's just like, I'm just going to look at that calorie burn and, you know, again, more point A to point B, nothing in between. And, you know, if you focus on the work and you learn how to initiate, your workouts can be way more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to take as long either.
No, no. They don't need to take an hour and a half.
This idea, and you know, I schedule my clients like an hour-long increments, you know, but this idea that, you know, a workout has to be an hour, you know, well, yeah, it's great for us, you know, but like in reality, we don't have to work out for an hour. This is like somebody's idea of how, you know, but again, it's more efficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get more done and you can utilize more muscles at the same time. Not everything has to be full body. You can, you know, obviously, like, focus more on one particular area of the body, you know, spread it out over the week. But your abdominals are very forgiving, so you may as well use them to their max capacity, save your back. And
it makes more sense because, you know, a lot of people come in, you know, gyms today, and, you know, our gym has machines, but they use those machines because they want to isolate. Mm-hmm. But it takes so much longer because as soon as you sit down and try to do an isolation, you're deactivating your entire core.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using a kettlebells or dumbbells or barbells or any machines like, or just, you know, basically cable crosses or something or a reformer.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and a lot of people have told me I'm wrong, it's not because the individual wants to isolate. It's not because the individual feels more comfortable on those.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that individual has to be learned. Those are learned movements. And the sad thing is, those are natural movements.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to relearn how to do a natural movement.
Yeah.
Like a kettlebell swing.
Uh-huh.
It's a movement we all know. But when you give someone a kettlebell, say, swing this. Basically, bend your hips and stand up with your arms forward.
Yeah.
They can't do it correctly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah.
But I think society has destroyed American movement. Actually, American movement mostly, but everywhere, because as soon as we sit, we deactivate so many muscles.
Yeah.
We carry bags way too heavy on our shoulders. We don't move side to side on it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a grocery store, you're carrying a basket, you know, this little tiny bag. You got one person, you know, holding on your left side, you're leaning towards the right, trying to keep it level, or a mother holding their child to one side or the other.
Oh, yeah.
And you move it side to side. And it's a shame that we're so focused on, let's lose weight. Let's look better. Here's some clothes that make you look better, and, you know, take this pill or drink this thing or have this diet. But they don't really care how you move or breathe, for that matter.
Yeah.
And if we just did the little things, learn how to breathe. Before you go to bed, do some proper breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Do a nice little stretch.
Yeah.
When you wake up, do the same thing. You know, in your day, how you start your day, you'll sleep better. And if you sleep better, you're going to wake up more refreshed. You're going to get more done. You're going to have a better cognitive thought. And your body's not going to ache and just feel miserable the whole day.
Yeah.
And it just goes and goes and goes. And then if you want to go isolate your muscles, go ahead. Or if you want to get a good workout, the kettlebell, or do powerlifting, or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But we're asking what? 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night? Not much.
No, and it feels so good. It's addicting. But that the thing is, you know, just I'm a mom of two kids, and I know, you know, how to be efficient with my day, and I know that that hour that I get, you know, or if I get, but, you know, usually when somebody's coming in to work out, right, that might be the only hour to themselves. Every other minute of their day is already planned out with, like, who they're taking care of, who they're reporting to, with all their have-tos, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that they have to do, they should do for their bodies, but it should be something that they want to do, right? A lot of people just get in there like, I got to do cardio because my, you know, like, I just heard it's good for you. Or I got to lift weights because I heard it's good for you. But they're just begrudgingly going in and doing the work. They're not actually getting any joy out of it. And that's the other thing. I'm like, I don't care if you like Pilates or if you don't like Pilates. Do something that resonates with you. Do something that you look forward to doing. That's going to keep you from hitting any plateaus. Because once you hit that mental plateau, you're going to hit the physical plateau too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see any changes. You're going to give up on yourself. You're going to go back to eating like garbage or sleeping poorly or just functioning poorly. But yeah, those... The timing, get in, do something that you enjoy and make the most of it, like, and make it functional.
But go back to that, like, why would not, and this is kind of a loaded question, why wouldn't someone like to work out to be healthier? Is it because they're not good at running, they're not good at lifting weights, they're not good at Pilates?
A lot of people get stuck. I mean, psychologically, there are so many reasons that prevent people from taking that step into the gym or into the studio or out onto the trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people just don't feel good, and misery loves company, right? So right. if we're not feeling well, we tend to just be like, oh, what the hell? I'm going to eat that cake, and, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. My clothes are already tight. I'm just going to kind of...
I'm not going to hang out with happy, good-looking people.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of live in the zone, or... But I don't look like her, or, you know, I can't lift as much as him, and it's an ego thing, or whatever. But everybody starts somewhere, and that's the thing. It's like, everybody who's working out is the fat kid, okay? It doesn't matter. Everybody loves to indulge, right? Mm-hmm. And some people work out because they love to indulge. Some people had a journey where they've lost a lot of weight, and they've completely changed their life around. And, you know, all you see is how they look now. You don't see what they've come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's rooting for everybody. And those who aren't, they're the ones with the problem. So I think... You know, people just get self-conscious sometimes, or they let their egos get in the way. And that's one thing I just try to tell people all the time. They look at my Instagram account and they're like, oh my gosh, well, I can't do Pilates. I can't do what she does. And I like to remind people all the time, Pilates is the only thing that's keeping me together. I've had so many injuries and tears and 2 C-sections and, you know, gosh, I mean...
See, I wish I had you when I was playing baseball. I could probably save my arm.
But, I mean, this is the only reason I can do anything.
Yeah.
It's helped me recover more times than, you know, than not, so...
I mean, I think it's a great modality because most people don't do mobility very well. I don't.
Mm.
I mean, it's something they maybe read a book or they see something they've done on YouTube. But they, in my opinion, is those are things that you're. It's really hard to learn on TV or on YouTube or on a book because, you know, like one thing you told me which kind of resonated when we did those movements. It was my elbow was off by an inch. Like, no, the elbow has to be perfectly lined this way because if it's not lined this way, different muscles fire and it's going to cause stress on this shoulder and then it's not going to allow the scapula to fire properly. And if that doesn't fire properly, it's not going to load down into your glute muscle. I'm thinking, she gets it.
Yeah.
You're not going to learn that in a book.
No.
And you're not going to learn it watching it on TV either.
Or with an instructor who doesn't know what they're doing.
That's the scary part,
that's
though.
That's the other thing.
That is probably the nail in the coffin, I think, with the industry, and especially now with the way gyms, the industry, how the gyms are changing a lot, where a lot of stuff's done online.
Yeah.
So before, to get a certification, you had to go put 200 hours in or 500 hours in, or you had to go to testing sites. And basically, it was like going to get an associate's degree just to get certified. Now, anybody with $100 can go online, download a test, take it, be done, be certified, and then legally allowed to train anywhere they want to go, which is scary because now there's nothing beholding the individual, one, to know what they're doing, and two, educate the individual in front of them to try to get the best out of them instead of saying, just $20 an hour, I'll do your training. And it's scary. And maybe someday we'll get some regulations on it. Who knows? But... And I think a lot of that gets lost because you have people like yourself and other professionals that you know that take your craft very, very professionally and very serious and have these little tiny steps to do with every individual you work with, whether it's a mobility training, breathing, injury prevention.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference with professionals like yourself, you're paying for that education. You're paying for that experience. Then you get some Yahoo down the street that says, oh, I can do what she does for a third of the price, for half the price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, if I'm a guy off the boat, I'm thinking, oh, you know, she knows, she sounds like she knows what she's doing, but I have no idea about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's saying kind of the same stuff, not as articulate, but cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then they work with a cheap guy, they get hurt, they get injured, and they never give you an opportunity. Yeah, then they see you 5 years later. Whoa, what should I miss you 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing is it's almost like we got to clear all this crap because there's not enough of us making enough noise because we're focused on making our craft better.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got these used car salesmen screaming with megaphones saying, come to me, come to me.
Yeah.
And
it's this franchise, big box mentality. And it's not a one-size-fits-all, especially not in Pilates. And it shouldn't be with personal training either. It shouldn't even be with group fitness. It's fun to have that collective energy in a group, but you really you owe it to yourself to invest in yourself to make sure that you're moving correctly. So whether that's with a, you know, a Pilates instructor or a personal trainer who knows the body and knows your body and educates you on your body, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's different. Yeah. Everybody's different.
Yeah,
it's a whole term.
Yeah.
But, and again, I think more people there, you take an athlete like me, you know, that went to your studio.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can see some people that were kind of at my level, not to boast, could be intimidated. Like, you know, I was the top tier of everything I did in my life, and now I'm going to a place and I'm going to get wrecked by some woman that's half my size on a machine that looks like I'm about to get an MR machine. And it wrecked me. And we did, what, 15, 20 minutes? It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
And it was like when I was done, I'm like, man, my shoulder felt so good. I could feel, and I woke up the next day and I felt like I water skied. Like all the little tiny muscles in my shoulder were just on fire. I'm thinking, this is what we need.
Yeah.
This is what I need. But more, I think more people are just scared. Like, you know, I'm going to stick to my power cleans or my deadlifts. I'm good at those.
Yeah.
Then they get on your machine and they're like, wow, you are a mess. And no one wants to hear that.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing, they can be used hand in hand. And I tell everybody, you know, even if you can only afford to do Pilates once a week or, you know, whatever it looks like for you, it's going to help you with weightlifting. It's going to help you with running. It's going to help you with dance. Anything else you're doing, even just how you carry your groceries, how you get out of bed in the morning.
It's mobility. It's mobility, like, times two.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Mobility should not be confused with flexibility.
And it
People are always think like, oh, you're so flexible. Or I'm like, no, it's mobility. There's strength behind it. It's not just this limber, like, you know, wet noodle, you know. There's a lot of strength behind it.
You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you can be too flexible, which is going to cause serious injury, especially spine or hip.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can be too mobile.
No, mobility is...
Because it's flexibility with tension.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Which, it's skilled movement.
It's, yeah.
Because it's all those other things. So we're going to get down to the big question. All
right.
Because we're moving along pretty quickly. So I always ask this question, what is performance?
Okay.
And it's a reason I picked that word, because it's a broad one. So you can relate it to your life, being a mom, being a business owner, being an instructor. To you, what does the word performance mean to you?
It's really having a broad base, a lot of just being able to draw from whatever you need to draw from in a particular moment. So for me, you know, I might walk in and teach a class and have somebody who shows up who's the weakest link and have to know how to perform as an instructor and make sure that person's getting the best workout while more advanced clients are in the room. It could be, all right, I'm operating on no sleep because I've been working 3 10-hour days in a row, and all right, how am I going to utilize my creativity, and how am I going to continue to train my clients in a diverse and functional way. So a lot of it's mental. It's just being able to understand with clarity and on a dime, like, what you need next. And always having not only a plan B, but a plan C, D, E, F, whatever. And be able to draw from experiences so you can function optimally, whether that's in a sport or whether that's just living life. You know, it's performance is often just associated with power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
But it's discipline and it's understanding and it's education and it's, you know, what we draw from and how we, you know, like, we all have the same 24 hours in the day.
Right.
How are we using them, right?
Some people perform better than others.
And you're all exposed to Google and you've got the world at your fingertips with your phone, like, and the computer, like, there's education everywhere. How are you utilizing it, you know? just
you know, sometimes people are overwhelmed with it, but you're like you said is like the point you made is you have that game plan where you have your A, your B, your C, your D.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it doesn't always go to plan, but you performed enough each day you can learn from those experiences.
Yeah,
which
and
is,
just adjust, readjust, and you know, learn to recalibrate along the way, and breathing is a big part of it because it helps to calm you, and in a stressful situation, high performance, anxiety occurs a lot of time, but being able to have that clarity. I mean, I would, so I played tennis for a long time, year-round tennis, and I, you know, just, I didn't get paid. I wasn't a pro athlete or anything, but I would, my secret sauce, I would go and I would go to yoga at 5:30 that morning. I would fast, I would go and I would play, and it would just keep me in this like hungry, like creative zone where I just had that clarity I needed. I won every single match if that was my recipe. And it wasn't even superstition. It was just like what worked for me. But just like learning more about your body. That's the other thing. I think a lot of people just are like, oh, well, I don't have time. Like, I just want somebody to tell me what to do. Like, you got to get in touch. You got to get in tune and know what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Know what foods to eat to help you feel your optimal. Know what foods to avoid, you know, that make you feel lethargic and low energy or crash, right? So it's just knowing what you do with that information around you.
All right. Well, because, I mean, that's a big thing is knowing the information.
Yeah.
And, like, when it comes to someone's, like, fitness regimen, you know, they sit in every day, I want to perform well. That's great. But, you know, you have your own business, and I think people's fitness regimen is kind of like a startup business. If you don't nourish your business, it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't nourish your fitness program, it's going to fail. Because there are sacrifices we both do as business owners, and there are sacrifices we're going to have to do to have a healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible how people just, they want things so quick, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But.
No, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. I mean, hey, health for the tortoise, right?
Yeah.
So what's the one takeaway? So what, the one takeaway you want to take from this, from this episode, or from just if people in general want to understand, I guess in one statement, one paragraph, if it's even possible, how Pilates can actually benefit somebody else or just benefit someone's period. Like, what's your one takeaway? Your biggest thing that you'd say is this is why people need to at least try it.
Yeah. Just,
that was a big question.
Clarity, strength, posture, performance, strength, mobility, less back pain. It's preventative. You know,
that's probably preventative. That's probably the big one right there. If you don't want to have back pain, do Pilates. I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, America is probably the most profitable country in the world. We have everything you can ever imagine, but we also have the most back pain and back surgeries in the entire world.
Yeah.
How is that?
Well, we sit a lot. We move poorly. And not every, you know, exercise to help strengthen your abdominals to relieve back tension is the right one for everybody. So,
you mean the weighted ab machine's not good for your back?
Not necessarily. It depends on, you know, again, I see a lot of people with spinal injuries. I myself have a degenerative L5 and some issues with my cervical spine from, you know, sports-related injuries and impact. But some people have bulging discs or ruptured discs or degenerative discs or their spines, you know, they have scoliosis or spondylosis or whatever. And there are different ways that they move their back. In a way to protect their back. So not everybody is able to have create deep flexion.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people need more of a neutral spine. It just depends. So again, that's like a takeaway, whether, you know, whoever's listening out here wants to start Pilates, whether they're in town and they can train with me or whether they go to somebody else, like ask the questions, like, find out about your body too, right? If your back hurts, might not be your back. It might be, you know,
a weak pelvic floor.
Your weak pelvic floor or a psoas muscle or there are spiral lines and diagonal lines throughout the body, and everything correlates and connects. And, you know, it could be that you have diastasis recti, and that's what's causing your, you know, piriformis pain, or, you know. Anyway, it's...
We have over 800 muscles in the body, and 806.
Yeah.
So one muscle
jacks
up.
Yeah.
It could take the entire place down.
Yeah. So whether it's your instructor or trainer, you know, knowledge is power. Get to know your body, whether it's through the right type of physician too, the right type of x-ray or MRI. Like, get to know the root of the problem before you start diagnosing and fixing the problem, you know, where you think it's...
And ask the questions.
Where you think it's initiating from. So,
Well, how can people get a hold of you?
Instagram is primarily my main mode of communication and advertising. I don't pay to advertise. I don't even have a sign out on the street. My studio is pretty private. I'm located in Grandview, but they can check me out on Instagram and message me through there.
I'll put a tag and stuff on the
bottom. So it's simply my name, Sarah Ortlip Pilates, and there are some underscores in there. So yeah, you can tag it.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed it, and I need to get back to the studio and do some stuff.
Yeah.
But every time I talk to you, I learn a little more, which is nice, because that's one thing I do not know anything about. I just learned what the thing's called today.
The reformer.
I was calling it the preformer.
Well, we're going to invent the preformer.
So there you go. All right, good. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Gym, the Performance Podcast, and the growth that we're doing here. It seems like we're getting a pretty good amount of traction early on in our existence. And I guess the biggest reason I'm recording this part at the end of this podcast is to kind of reach out to everyone and ask, let us know what you're looking for. Again, the idea of this podcast is to give a shining light on some of the great minds essentially in Columbus, Ohio to begin with, and then hopefully we expand to get some of the best minds in the country, and even maybe, if we're even lucky enough, the world. But the main focus of this is to let's attack the word performance and see what that means to some of these great minds and great coaches out there. And what better way of asking our audience, what is performance to you, and how does it relate in your everyday, and how you want it, your performance to increase, and what things can we teach, or what things that you are struggling with when it comes to performance. And that is kind of our goal here, is to help as many people as we possibly can and make it somewhat entertaining if that's even possible. But so this is my call out to you, the listener, and say, hey, what can we do to make this podcast more entertaining and more educational for you, the listener? Just shoot us up and let me know. And thanks again for listening.